Hallelujah. Amen. We were just beginning, and I was talking about a burning vision. Something that we need for church growth. And I just began to say that sometimes we assume that once I'm a pastor, I have a burning vision. But the truth is that it's not so. Because experience has shown that sometimes as soon as a man of God has enough for himself, he's okay. So the church has grown to a point, his salary is assured, he has a place to stay, somewhere to lay his head, then he's okay. But we need to have a burning vision before we can reach out to so many and also bring them into the church. Amen. Anytime I'm talking about a burning vision, I remember or I think of the example of a man who wants, he has found the woman he wants to marry. I hope you are thinking about the time before you when you found your wife. And you will see that whether you had money or not, you were determined to marry her. If her father was saying that, no, I'll not give her to you, you bowed your knee, you prayed until the father said yes. Hey. I remember one brother, he had a picture in his things. He had gone on a long course. He was reading medicine in Russia, and the lady was in Ghana.
Oh, yeah, doctor course was Russia. Obano was Ghana.
The picture was in the Bible.
Bible
the picture was in the wallet. The picture was everywhere. Is your picture on your wall? Is the picture of your mega church, your big church, is it on your wall? Is your vision for your church in your Bible? When you wake up in the morning, are you thinking about that church? Or are you telling the Lord that, oh, Kitwa Biansu, this is all right? Or are you saying to the Lord that, oh, small is okay?
Oh, catch it, Lord. They said, Kitwa Biametho Neyana.
But Jesus came.
Yes, by.
He came to win every soul. If he got every soul he likes.
Yes, oh, Nyakra Biakra Gope, Ubia Akrabia.
Amen.
Amen.
And that's the vision that should be burning in us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When that vision is burning in us, it will cause us to do all the things we need to do. And that is why tonight I want to take us to a story in the Bible. A story told by Jesus. I feel that this story was Jesus' map or his blueprint for church growth. And we will find that story in Luke chapter 14. Book he wrote on it is a very small book. The book that he wrote on this, that Bishop Dag wrote on it, is a very, very small book.
Bishop Dag,
but it is very loaded. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let us read the scripture. Luke 14, I'm starting from verse 16. A certain man made a great supper and invited many and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were invited, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuses. The first one said, I have bought a piece of ground and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. Another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excuse. Another said, I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. So the servant showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly to the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said to him, go out to the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of these men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Tonight, I just want to share with you a few nuggets from this story. You will find more of it in this little book called Anakazo by Bishop
Dagg.
And if you are puzzled at the title Anakazo, we will get there. It is from verse 23. When we get there, we'll share about it. But tonight, I want us to take apart this story bit by bit. Because in it are hidden nuggets of the wisdom of God to make our churches grow. The story starts by saying that a certain man made a great supper and invited many. In other words, any of us could have been that man, a certain man. And it says that he made a great supper. To make a great supper is to prepare. So to make a great supper is to prepare. And my first question to you tonight is whether you will say that you have been preparing a great supper every Sunday in your church. Hallelujah.
Amen.
What is part of this supper? Many things need to come together for church to work. And sometimes we are less than diligent in making the supper great. It's not a supper that only the pastor is cooking, but he's working with other
people.
And sometimes we accept many things that we should not accept. Maybe you have struggled to put a choir together. And now you have 5, 6, 10 people who are your choir. It is choir rehearsal time on Saturday, they don't come. On Sunday morning, they arrive. And then they stand outside in the corner. I said, what song are we going to sing today? And after some 3 minutes of rehearsal, then they enter church. And you are also ready to allow them to announce that the choir is coming to sing. When they come to sing, because they didn't rehearse, the leader is in one key.
Ah, no, the kind of. Or the F namha.
Then the others are in key A.
Let me see the A, G flat sharp.
And so the sharper man at the, he doesn't even know what key to play. And instead of you and I to stop them,
Na isa saka yebe jai amama omo jai.
We say oh they are trying. You allow.
So omo bo modern ori omo koso.
Hey, you have been allowing the past 15 years. You have been allowing that choir to perform in your church.
You do no omo da so te sa.
What kind of supper is that? It is like allowing somebody to go to the market and buy rotten tomatoes to come and cook the stew.
You said that one more because uncle took tomatoes so I process on for my young coin.
Hey.
What's up for now? What did you almost say?
A great supper.
Hey, I put to a case here.
Man of God, get some courage to tell them stop. Stop. If you won't rehearse, you won't sing. If you will not make time for God, I cannot be sweating over my part of the soup, and then you are not sweating over yours.
Mimi, son, fifre, I say,
have you seen that you are quiet on me tonight? We accept anything. Because we feel that hey they are trying. They are not trying.
No.
It's not acceptable. Am I talking to someone in the house?
Tonight?
We have brought God something that is not our best. And we think it doesn't matter. But it matters. If you came to eat a meal and the meal was not good, would you eat it? Would you eat it? Why then should we accept what is not of a correct standard?
Hey.
I'm talking to somebody tonight. We have accepted too low a level. Very low level. Sometimes we come into the house of God and the children have been allowed to run left and right in the church. Sometimes led by the pastor's child. I think you don't like me again this evening. I think I should close and go home. And nobody can talk. And the pastor is afraid to talk because he says that the women will face him, that they don't like their children. But I came to ask you a question. Or if before I ask the question, let me tell you something. For 15 years, my husband and I, we were in ministry in an Islamic part of our country. They pray anywhere. They pray anywhere. So they can be outside the shop and they are praying. They can be in a mosque and they are praying. But I can tell you something. Never once did I see a child even coming to cross. Never once did I see the women at the back chatting when they are praying. But what have we allowed in our churches? We are busy preaching and the ladies are chatting at the back. The ushers are having their own in
common.
Men of God, we have allowed it. And so today we are in our churches and we almost don't have control over the church.
Listen.
And we think it doesn't matter. We think that because we are men of God, we are being kind. What we don't realize is that it is reducing the quality of our supper in the house. I'm talking to somebody tonight. It's time for us to rise up and say,
yes, sorry.
We are also demanding the best for our God.
Yes, so
I said we are demanding the best for
our
God. Please, I don't want to embarrass anyone tonight. I know that our sound went off. That's not why I'm saying what I'm saying. It was just a small accident. But the truth is that in many of our churches, our sound is controlled by people who will not even bother to learn what to do. When the praise and worship is going as it is at the top,
praise and worship.
Please, does it happen in your church or it doesn't happen in your church? Before you are aware, they have shattered the atmosphere that you have prayed so hard to
pray.
Because we as pastors, we have not demanded of them. If you are going to do the thing, learn it and learn it well. Learn it and learn it well. Because it must be a great supper. We have allowed instrumentalists who don't practice to come and do whatever they like. Mercy. Mercy. Are you in the house? Somebody, you need to go back to church. Tell the instrumentalist, if you are going to play the song, play it like the original. Stay there, practice it till it is perfect. Amen.
Amen.
Do all night on it till you have it perfectly. Many instrumentalists are very arrogant in the church. When you speak right, they don't mind you. They don't mind you. Because they feel they know. And you have also accepted it. I say you have also accepted it. And sometimes the pastor feels that by me, I cannot play. You can't play, but you can hear. And you can hear that it's not correct. You can hear that what they are playing, that's not it. Man of God, stop them in the middle of it. Either you play the correct thing or you don't play it at all. Amen.
Amen.
You see, I have to be honest with you, media. That's why I like the children. Because when you stop the children in the middle, they will not become proud. They will go and practice. And they will come back and do it better. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It is time for us to say that the supper must be great.
Bread, you say, upon to already dear,
the supper must be great. I remember one day I went to a certain church. As the word was coming, some were sleeping, some were chatting, doing all kinds of things. At a point, I told them that if I was a Christian looking for a church, I would never join you. And they looked at me so shocked. And I said, do you want to know why? They said, yes, we want to know why. I said, because you look so bored in the church. I don't see why I should come and add myself. Why should I come and add myself? But you see, if you don't teach your people to be excited about the word that you are preaching, nobody will teach them.
Yeah.
You have toiled and labored over the word you are bringing to them. I say you have toiled and labored over the word you are bringing to them. Don't accept that they just...
No.
Teach them. Teach them what to do. After a while, they will know what to do. It will become easier for you to preach. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Man.
Amen.
The man prepared a great supper. Please tell your neighbor, we cannot prepare a good stew with rotten tomatoes.
Catching on your toe, Jess. I went to me for tomatoes, proye, and my young coin be and see, Hossa.
We cannot prepare a good stew with oil that has been, is old oil. We have fried kelewele in it. We have fried fish inside. We have fried meat inside. It's old oil. The oil is dead.
Now the Bible yell to Anissa.
We cannot prepare a meal with such old oil.
What
we are using, it must be fresh.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Man of God, then there's also your own share of the preparation. The Bible says the man prepared a great supper. Pastor, is your supper great? Have you labored over your people and over the thing that you are coming
to?
You see, the more successful your church, the more successful your church, the more you are going to struggle to find time to pray enough. It's one of the mysteries. Because things will be calling on your time. So if you don't take care, you can fall into a hole that many of us have fallen into. And that is that we are appearing on Sunday morning without much prayer having been done. Because our time has been taken by so many other things. And that is why tonight, I'm just introducing you to this book, Transform Your Pastoral Ministry. More than half of this book talks about prayer. And one of the things he talks about, he gives us 10 reasons why every minister should pray. We are assuming that every minister prays, but it is not true. It is not true. Not because he doesn't want to pray, but just because of the pressures of life. And you have to fight your way through. At the risk even of offending people, you need to fight your way through. Until you get to that place where you are able to invest in prayer. Amen.
Amen.
Prayer is the greatest sign that you are a man of faith. Because to pray is to talk to somebody who does not necessarily answer you. How I wish sometimes, at least God will answer and say, oh, my daughter, continue. Sometimes I wish he will answer and say, all right, I've heard you. What was number two? What next? And sometimes he blesses us like that. But the truth is that most of the time, we are just praying. Those of you who God has blessed in a certain way, you hear him often, you should feel sorry for the rest of us. Because for many of us, prayer is that, Charlie, we are talking to God. We are talking. But it is a sign of our faith. That's why even when he has not said anything, we continue. Even when he has not brought a vision, we continue. Because we are people of faith. We are men and women of faith. Hallelujah. Oh, I said hallelujah.
Amen.
And as we pray, we are turned into people of authority. When Jesus spent time praying, The Bible says in many places, Matthew 7, 28, it says, he taught as one having authority and not as the scribes. Where is your authority? It comes from prayer. In Luke 4 in verse 22, it says the people heard him, they wondered where he got it from. When was the last time your own congregation was astonished with your preaching? Sometimes it's when you go somewhere else that they are But when you spend good time as part of your preparing, you spend good time, then that authority, they realize, hey, what has happened to pastor? And they are ready to listen to you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Our prayer is needed. Our prayer is needed before we will be able to have converts in our churches on Sunday. I need to tell you a short story. And this is a true story. I was praying and asking God to increase my church. At that time, we were about 350 people, something like that. It was a small building, so it used to look very full. So I thought I was a major pastor. And I began to pray. And one morning, it was a Sunday, I was praying. I had been asking the Lord for a long time to increase us to 500. Then I heard the voice of God, of the Lord. And he said, you are barren. You are barren. You are barren. I said, oh, Lord, how can you say that? Have you not been coming to church? Have you not been coming to church? Where I go church? The Holy Ghost said to me that you are barren.
No,
so when I tried to understand it, he said, when you go to church, ask for the book. Ask for the book. A book. In that book, we used to record Sunday attendance. But it was not only attendance we used to write. We also used to record first timers, those coming for the first time. And then we also used to record, and we still record, the converts every Sunday. Nowadays we are using the computer, but in those days it was a book. And so I had not looked at the book for some time. So because of what the Holy Spirit said, I said, when I got to church, I said, they should let me have a look at the book. So I opened the book. The recording was there Sunday after Sunday. As I began to turn over the page, it was as though the Lord was showing me something. My eyes dropped to the record of converts. First Sunday of the month. Number of converts. Zero. Second Sunday. Zero. Third Sunday. One. Fourth Sunday. Zero. Fifth Sunday. Zero. By the time I got to the sixth Sunday, I had to accept what the Holy Spirit was saying was true. I was barren. Barren is not only when you cannot have children. Some women will tell you they had one child, for the next 10 years, none. Barren also means to be small.
Just a few.
And I began to ask the Lord, what should I do? And he said, pray. pray.
Bompae.
Pray.
Bompae.
And I began to pray. And every Sunday, I say, oh God, give me converts today. Let somebody give their life to Christ. From that day till today, I realize it doesn't even matter what the message is. Somebody will give their life to Christ. Somebody will give their life to Christ. Don't accept that you don't have new converts. Don't accept that you do not have new
converts.
Pray until you have them. Pray until you have them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because God sends people to us. Even apart from those that you may have brought in through a crusade or from some outreach, you will see that you always have visitors in your church. Always visitors come in. Many of them have not received Christ. And they come and they go.
No, ba, no,
untouched. But Pastor, as you pray,
no,
as part of your preparation on Sunday, as you pray, when you come into your church and you preach, give an altar call, no matter what you have been preaching, and you will see that some will give their life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The second preparation I want to talk about, which concerns us, has to do with our message. And I want to say, prepare to feed your sheep. This morning when we were ending, General Secretary said something this afternoon. He gave an example and I just loved that example. He said, depending on the food that you give, your broiler will grow. The
chickens.
And he said, your layers, if you don't feed them well, the shell will be very thin. Your people are a reflection of what you have taught them. The people, they are a reflection of what we have taught them. And that's why I need to ask you, what are you teaching in your church? Wow.
Wow.
Is it a good question? Is it a good question? Yeah. Because sometimes, in the midst of plenty word, our people are hungry. They are hungry because we are doing something, but it's not food.
Yeah.
Are you in the church? There is a story that Bishop Oko tells in this book, The Art of Shepherding. He said in the book, he gave the story, he said he was in a certain country. And when he went to that country, he said it's a country that has so much food that most of the people
are oversized.
But he was in the house and he saw a TV program. And in that program, a woman came on and she was talking about food. She was talking about a program they have, the children eat lunch in school. And he said that the woman said something shocking. The woman said, in the midst of all the plenty that there was in the country, there were mothers who no longer cooked in their homes. There were mothers who no longer cooked in their homes. And so they had discovered that in the middle of the plenty that there is in the nation, they had children in the schools who did not have enough to eat and who were showing signs of malnutrition. And she said that, I mean, she was, her program was to make sure that if that is the case, at least when they come to eat lunch, what they need, they will get it.
And now, church says, so mu ba lunch na school for no ba be di dia ni omu hia bia e so omu nya.
And so the question also arises.
As in say e buy ni say,
just as it is possible to have, you know, children or people in a country where there's plenty, but they are not getting. Sometimes it is so in the church as well. Sometimes it is like that in the church as well. Is it possible? Yes, it is possible. Some of us have grown our churches on a certain diet. We have told them, I see you receiving. I see you receiving. We have given them the word that has made them excited. But we have not given them food. When you are a child, it's not only the food you like that your mother is giving to you. They have to eat everything. Some of everything. And some sometimes our teaching does not give them everything. And so in the midst of everything, our people are hungry. They are hungry. Wow. Don't throw away the messages of your house. Do not throw away the messages of your house. I say this because sometimes a big house can have branches that are very small. It can start small, but it has to grow. And sometimes it does not grow because the pastor there does not eat the food from the house, and therefore is doing something else in that branch. Mercy. Am I talking to some people?
Yes.
Your church came from somewhere. The founder of your church preached something. Then he handed over to your chairman. They are preaching something. That something that they are preaching has caused the church to grow. But sometimes those of us of the house, we don't eat that meal. We are rather looking for some other food.
Hey.
And sometimes that's why the church does not grow. We are not, there's nothing wrong. The other churches are also doing their own. But in the same way, as a woman who has a baby, the best breast milk for that baby is the milk of the
mother.
Other women also have milk.
It
is for their children. But the best milk for the children of CPIC is the milk, is the food from here.
Amen.
Oh, does it mean we are quarreling with other people? No.
No.
But you see, it is like a house.
It is a fee.
When the children have eaten the food of their mother, and when they go and visit their auntie and their auntie gives them cake, they enjoy the cake. But when they have not eaten in the house, and they go where they are only giving them cake, will they be okay with that cake?
No.
It is when they have eaten their mother's food well. That's when they go to their auntie's house, they can also eat a cake well. Hallelujah.
Amen.
What am I saying? They are messages of this house.
And some will fear.
If this is house, eat those messages. Eat those messages. Listen to those messages. Over and over. Until it is your message. Since I came here this morning, I have been talking to you, I show you the book, but you can see that the message has become my message. I have listened to my father preaching over and over and over. Occasionally I listen to others who he listens to. Oh, Bishop Oyedepo is nice to listen to. Kenneth Hagin is to he listen to.
Kenneth Hagin, Bishop Oyedepo.
But my main food.
Bishop
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So that there will be the food that is needed in this house. Amen.
Amen.
The spirit is the same. But every church has its place in the body. And so our functions are not the same. If one church is the hand, and another church is the ear, there will be a different things they need. And they will need what the hand needs to move. The hand is moving like this. The ear cannot move like that. And so I just want to say tonight that the message of your founder, the messages of your chairman, you shouldn't listen to them. You shouldn't leave them at all. Don't leave them at all. It is what you need. And then you take it further. And just like a girl learns to cook from her mother. You see, the truth is that some churches don't grow because the pastor is not a good preacher. And when it's like that, listen to the one your father has preached. Copy it.
Copy.
Amen. And then you become like a young girl. She learns to cook from her mother. Her mother taught her how to make jollof. Her mother taught her that, oh, this is how you do the goat meat, this is how you do this, this. After she has learned to cook from her mother, then she can say, oh, I want to add a little of this other spice to give it a little, you know, my own flavor or my own taste. Hallelujah. Don't change it until it is inside of you. And then it becomes yours. When you are bringing it out, it has your flavor. And your church will begin to grow. I said, and your church will begin to grow. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, I see some churches growing and growing and growing and growing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So this a man he prepared. Then he invited many. My question to you is, who are you inviting to church? Sometimes we just come. But when you encourage your people to invite and you also invite, there will always be new people in the church. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Then the Bible says in verse 17, Luke 14 and verse 17, it says that when everything was ready, he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And After all your preparation has been done, the next thing I need to ask you is, do you have a servant that you can send? Or are you working alone? Many pastors are exhausted because they have nobody to send. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 14 and verse 14, when Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants born in his house, 318, and pursued them and
took them.
Where are your trained servants? Many times we are looking for help. Sometimes we are praying for help. But I came to say to you, the best is to train your own servant. Your own servant. Who is that servant? It starts with the person who is born again in your church. Please help
me.
After they have given their life to Christ, what then do you teach them? Take them through New Believer School. Bishop Doug has a book here, How to be Born Again and to Avoid
Hell.
I'm just showing you some of the materials that we use. We teach them how to have their quiet time, how to wake up every morning, open their Bible, read the Bible, pray, write down things, meditate on the word. We teach
them how to have your quiet time.
We teach them, read your Bible and pray every day. And this book tells them a lot about the word of God, why they should believe the Bible. How you can become a strong Christian. Many of our people are not strong. That's why they believe anything who is passing. That's why as soon as somebody has come, the latest somebody saw, they follow. And after their lives are destroyed, they return to you. Sometimes because they are not strong. But now you are preparing your servants from your own house. The one who gave their lives to Christ under you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Reverend Seth, you have gone back too far. Return. When you have taken them through all this, they have only become Christians. That's all they become. Not leaders, just Christians. No, I'm saying that by the time you take them through this, they are just Christians. They understand their salvation. And then we now begin to train you to be a leader. And we have a number of books you are released. Thank you. What it means to become a shepherd. We call our lowest level of leaders
shepherds.
In this book, you will find 15 essential qualities of a shepherd. Things that you should be looking for to be able to select people to train. And we take them through it. Sunday after Sunday, people are always asking us, what are you people doing in church after church is over? This after church.
Church after church.
We are training. It has closed. The members have gone home.
Members,
but now, those we have selected, we are training them. We are training them. We are training them. We are not in a hurry. We are training them. When will they finish? When we finish the book, they will do exams. Hey, are you coming to do exams in church? Yes.
Hey,
yes. Yes. Masons are doing exam. Masons are doing exams. Electricians are doing exams. Why should we not do exam in the word of God? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Abraham trained them.
Abraham
in his own house. You see, when you are looking for somebody who is already trained, he may not remain loyal to you for long. Some of us have tried to make the rich men of the church the servants of the church. How can you send them? Bless you. Can you send them? Will they even go? You have given them the seat of honor in your church. And they are even killing your anointing. When your word is sweet and you are flowing with the word, when you look at them, when you see
them,
all your fire will even just come down. Rather, the people you are training, let them sit there. Yeah, let them sit there. They are your heroes. They are your helpers.
Yeah.
Give them a proper place to sit.
Amen. Amen.
Because this man, you see, his church became full. How did he become full? By the help of his servant. He had a servant, he was able to serve them three times. First of all, I'm sure the servant was with him when he was cooking the supper. The Bible says when he finished, he sent him to go and call the people he had invited earlier. Go and bring the church members. The man went. When he came back, he came and said nobody came. So he sent him again. Go to the street and the lane. The guy came back and said, I brought some, but the house is not full. And he sent them again. The guy did not complain. Where are your people that you can send three times, four times? When you even send them, just carry offering to the bank. They ask you, give me transport. And the reason is because you have not trained them to serve. By the time you finish training them, one of the things they will understand is that they too, that is their contribution to the house of God. That's their contribution. In our church, we don't give anybody money to go to bank. We don't give anybody money to play the drums. We don't give you money to go on visitation. Nothing. That's how we build. We use the money to build. We don't give
money.
All of them, not just my church. Hallelujah. All of them. Why? Because that's how they are trained. That's how they are trained. Amen. That's why I shared with you that it is whatever you put inside, that's whatever you get. And we were trained to understand that that our volunteering is that that is our work in the house of God.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so if you are here and the demands of the church are sucking you dry, maybe it is time to
reorganize.
They don't need to know where you got the material from. This one is between you and your table. When you come, you add it to your teachings. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, I want to hop over the three verses where he sent for the people and they gave excuses. That's verse 18, verse 19, verse 20 of Luke 14. I will just say that these are the common excuses. These are the common excuses of our church members. But I need you to see that the man did not give up. The verse said in verse 21 that the man sent his servant out. Go out. Go into the streets and the lanes of the city. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Send the people out to go and look for some people. Every place that you are, there are some people that are for you. There are some people who are for you. Yeah. You need to find them. In Luke chapter 15, I'm reading from verse
18.
What woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she loses one piece, doesn't light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I lost. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. When I read the Bible says the woman had 10. The Lord knows where you are, and there is a number that is for you. It's in your city. But I need you to see something. The woman had to sweep diligently. When we want to really sweep this house, you will see that we'll start from one corner. We'll pack everything, we'll start from one corner, and we'll sweep until every part of the house is swept. The question I want to ask you, have you swept the town you are in? Before you come and say, Bishop, it's not working, this town
here,
have you gone to every street in the house? Have you knocked on every door on that street? Have you shared the gospel with everyone that you meet? If you have not done so, you cannot say that the church will not grow. The people are there. I said the people are there. It's left to you and to me to search. To search. To search.
To search.
Because when the woman found it, she said, I have found my coin. But what has happened to us? We have not gone to search. We have stayed in our house with our 9 coins. We have invited pastor after pastor, prophet after prophet to help us to polish the same coins we have been polishing every Sunday. But we've left that one. CPIC. It's time to go and look for that one.
CPIC.
It's time to find that one. The one with your name on it. Where is that one? Your church is 28, but there are 90 more in that town with your name on it. Only that you must go and look for them and find them and search until
you get.
Hallelujah.
You are speaking mysteries.
As you can see, you cannot do that work alone. You cannot do that work alone. You need people to join you. Who are the people who will join you? Your servants trained in your own house. They are the ones who will join you to do this work. Door to door.
Door to door.
To street, area to area. Oh yes, we have become too quiet and too soft. It is time to become wild for the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now I want to show you something. When he said, he said, go out. Go into the streets and lanes. Then he said, and bring in the poor, the lame, the halt, the blind. Bring them. Many times we go. We do the work. We send the invitation. We ask people to come. But we don't go and bring them. Sunday after Sunday, our church members just leave and come. They just leave and come. It's time to ask them to go and bring somebody. Go and bring them and come. Go and bring them and come. So far, I don't have money. Walk with them and come. Have you seen how you are quiet? If you can afford it, you can give them a bus. But many churches cannot afford it. But many churches cannot afford it. But if you train them to desire to bring people, they will bring them. By the time the master was telling the guy, go, he said, I've gone, but the house is not yet full. So when the boy said the house is not full, then the man said something in verse 23. Luke 14:23. Go out into the highways and hedges. So first he said the lanes and the streets around. Now he says
go further.
And compel them. Compel them. That word compel in the Greek is anakazo. Compel them. The word to compel, or I should say the word anakazo, in the original language, it has many meanings. In English, we could only find, they can only put one word. But the Amplified Bible tries to give you some more meanings of the word. And some of the meanings, to beg. Some of the meaning, it means to force. To threaten. To necessitate. In other words, do what you must do. Push your neighbor and say, neighbor, we have become too soft. It's time for anakazo. It's time for us to go out there and do what we must do. To bring the people in. To bring the people in. The people.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
How your people in? What are you doing to bring them? The way things are right now in this world, we can no longer just be gentle and polite. No, we can no longer be soft. I'm talking to somebody this evening. I'm talking to somebody this evening. I told you I was a pastor of young people. If I tell you what goes on campuses,
university campus,
I'm not sure you believe me. I'm not sure you believe me. Are you in the church? Your nice child that is very respectable at home. Very respectful at home. Doing what you're asking him to do.
I want to
show you what's going on.
Yeah.
So we have also become wild.
Yes,
we have become wilder. They don't like us at all. I said they don't like us at all. At all. When first year students are coming to school, we said before the devil hits, we must hit. Said before the devil hits, we must hit. We go out this year. I gave the mission. I said every hostel, every room, we must be there. That's 12,450 rooms.
12,000.
Some have four people inside. Some have three. Some have two. I tell you, it's hard work. It's hard work. Can one person do? Can one person do? We cannot do. We fasted. We prayed. 5 hours every
day.
Wake up in the morning, 2 hours. Go to work or school, depending on what you are doing. Come back in the evening another 3 hours. And then when we were done, we had a crusade and we brought them. Hard work.
Hard work.
Hard work. Hard work. You may be saying, oh, I cannot do. You can do something. We didn't start there. We didn't start there. There was a time when we just start with the garden, we collect 200 people.
100
people. Start wherever you are. With whatever you have. And let it grow. And as it grows, it grew. So that the number of leaders continue to grow. People who will help with the work. If you come to the church, you won't know who the leaders are. They are just like anybody. It's not that they are on the stage. No. They are there. Amen.
Amen.
But each one winning a soul, bringing the soul to church, helping that soul to understand the Bible, teaching that soul to, I want to ask you, do you think they even have energy to remember to criticize me? They are too tired. Look at this servant. He has gone and come 3 times. Do you think he had any energy to criticize his man of God?
Hey.
He was working. Another thing I want to point out to you in this story. If one group of people will not receive you, another group of people will receive you. If one group does not receive you, another group will receive you. You see, this man, when he started, the people he had invited were rich people like himself. I'm calling them rich people because he made a great supper. And look at all the people he fed at the end. He went and sent for somebody who could buy land. That's a rich person. He sent somebody who are going to buy oxen. Somebody who has married a wife, he has a little money. They only gave him excuses. But he refused to just stop. And he now said, go and bring other people. The halt, the lame. Other people who are not like me. Maybe the people that you are witnessing to, or the people you are trying to reach in the town that you are, they are not minding you. Maybe you need to look at another group of people. Another group of people. When we came from Tamale, we were transferred to
Kumase.
I was given a church of 23 people. Even before I came, I got a message from them. The message was that they don't want a female pastor. And the second message was that they want me to speak in
tree.
I can speak in tree, but I can't preach in tree. I'm a guy, I can't. So you can imagine. So when I got to the church, it was not easy for me. Are you there? Twice the church emptied. They left. They left. And I was praying. And I said, Lord, what do I do? I've been sent here to pastor. This is where I must be. So, after my first Sunday, I said, Lord, if I continue, something in me will die. So I had come to the church. I had six, we were six who came from Tamale. And I said to them, let us go and look for some souls. Let's just go and look for some souls. And we started walking around the area. Started walking around the area. I didn't sack those who were there. I didn't sack them. But I just started a service earlier than the one I met. So at 8 o'clock, I will have my service that I can preach in English. At 10 o'clock, we'll have a translated service. It was a little better, but the church was not growing. And I kept praying. And I kept praying. We kept preaching. We kept winning souls. One day the Holy Spirit said to me, but can't you see all the students around you? And I said, but Lord, who builds a church with students? These people, they will go home. They don't stay here. And I continued to pray. One day there was a gentleman who was talking to me from my husband's church, and he said, the people there in school all the time these days. 9-10 months of the year they are in school. He was just chatting with me, but for me it was a message. It was a message. So I said, Lord, if it is you speaking to me really, then I will start. But I'm going to ask you for one thing. If it is you, my first service, I want 50 students in this church. Well, the rest is history. The rest is history. God gave me my 50. You see, you may be saying that, oh, it's nothing. I want to ask you, how many students do you know who would talk to a woman who is 62 years old? I'm old enough to be their grandmother. But I'm their pastor. And they come around. They don't want to go home. The only reason why they are not here with me today is that this program coincided with a program of my husband. I told them, go over there. You can ask Apostle, how many people did I bring to your place? I didn't pay their transport. They came. Mama too was cooking and feeding them. We were very happy.
So,
For me, that was my halt, my blind, my maim, different from myself. Maybe yours are the frafra people in your town. They are frafras. You speak chi, but they are frafra people. And that's what
okay.
God has given to
maybe
you. And I'm saying maybe yours are the frafra people, but you have not gone there because they are frafra
Hey!
You have been trying to win the people like yourself. I'm not saying maybe you are trying, it's not working. Maybe God is showing you another group of people. I'm closing in a few minutes. One of our spiritual daughters who was in our house and she got married. She got married. And she and the husband were sent to Mali. And they started a church in Mali. Mali is about 95% Islamic. When they went, the church began. And after some time, her husband asked her to start a branch in another part of the city. So she started the church. And you must know that if you are doing so winning in an Islamic place, it's not an easy thing. And she kept going and kept working. But one day, some people from the UN who were working there came to her church. First, they were two. Then they were five. Then they were 15. So she called me.
No, friend, me say.
She said, I'm trying to grow my church. Only these UN people are in the church.
Me bom modern say masorika me mana nyinin so sa ni pai we are na wo masorim.
She doesn't work for the UN. She's a missionary wife.
Me enya dia me ye adwuma wo UN. Me dia me ye osomafo a me kokan nyame asa ye soma me
say. Oh, what am I going to do?
Yeah, na me ese me ye.
I said, remember Luke 14.
Na me ka chen say kai Luke as a party do nine.
Luke 14.
Luke as a party do nine.
15 UN staff. 20 UN staff.
UN for
25 UN staff.
Adwonunum.
It was not what she had planned. But I have to tell you something.
And so UN United Nations.
The UN they keep you there for 4 years. Anytime somebody was leaving, the person who took over, they'll tell the person, that's our church.
That's our church.
That's our church. Let me tell you something. That church never grew to be a big church. It never grew to be a large church. But it was a significant church. Because everybody in that church was working. First, they organized their own church. Paid their rent. Got their equipment, their instruments. That church, they began to pay tithes. And they began to pay tithe. They pay tithe. Pay tithe. The day Bishop Dag wanted to ask them, we have to build a church. They said, oh, we have enough money in our bank. It was as though God created that church just to help the main church. Who are we to question him? That was his purpose at that time. I believe that God will help us to find the people who
are us.
Hallelujah. When you find them, he will anoint you for them. I told you I'm 62 years old, but I minister to young people. We enjoy ourselves together.
62
years old, I'm 62 years old. And they listen. I thought they would be bored. I thought they would say Abrewano. I believe God anointed me for them. I'm sure he has anointed you also. Please, shall we rise to our feet?